Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. My name is Skip Lacombe, and Michael Vick is back in the NFL and back with a team. Lots of big news going on, and we got special guests on the show today. We're going to do a big roundtable discussion. We're going to have Emil Cadlick on. He's the head cheese of FootballDiehards.com. We're going to have Joe Hebert, one of our resident draft nicks, and Mike Jones. Going to have a nice roundtable discussion. Emil, how you doing?
Having fun. Draft.
Draft. We're getting down to it. Let's see. Make sure we got everybody there. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Skip. How are you today?
Oh, I certainly can't complain. And Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Watching a little preseason football here, Jets and Rams. Happy to see Steven Jackson just rip off a big 16-yard run. Looking pretty sharp.
Very nice. Well, glad to have all you guys in here. Going to have a lot of fun, lots of different voices on. Let's go ahead and get started, first of all, with the big news of the week. Michael Vick is back in the NFL, and he is a Philadelphia Eagle. Emil, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm glad he got a second chance, and hopefully over a period of a few weeks we can get over all the crazy stuff and get down to football and let him be part of a team and see what he can do with his second chance.
Any surprise to the fact that he signed with the Eagles, Mike?
I think he's probably as surprised as anybody. I think he heard that the Eagles were interested in him, and he got some pretty big eyes about that. I can't think of any better situation he could have found himself in, without a doubt.
Absolutely. The Eagles seem to be one of the more together franchises from the top to bottom. They certainly have a system there that will allow him to grow. Joe, do you think there's any concern with the Eagles' current quarterback?
No, not at this time. I don't think he's any sort of a threat to Donovan McNabb for this year or even next year if he comes back on that second year of his contract. I think really what the Eagles are hoping to gain here is, to me, it seems like they're willing to take the heat with PETA and other organizations for maybe some value down the line where they can move Vic for maybe a second or third round draft choice at some point and get some value back out of this for themselves.
Okay, now there's been a lot of discussion and ideas about what exactly how he will play into the Eagles' offense. Some are saying some of that wildcat offense that's been so prevalent from last year. How do you think he's going to actually end up? Do you think he's going to be listed as a running back, or how do you think that's going to be ended up, Emil?
Well, I think that from what I heard, he was going to compete for the number two quarterback. I think they're going to list him as a quarterback. I haven't paid attention this morning, so I'm not sure, you know, if something's changed. But I think he's going to compete as a number two quarterback, and they'll probably use him in a lot of situations.
Absolutely. Well, that's certainly some big news. Is there going to be a lot of fantasy value from him this year, Mike?
Well, just to touch back on the last thing you were talking about at the press conference, Andy Reid kind of basically, you know, had a kind of a glint in his eye when talking about Michael Vick and said, you know, basically, you know, he said, well, everybody in the NFL is watching this news conference, and I'd tell you how I'm going to use him, but then I'd probably have to kill you. So I think he's got some pretty exciting plans for Michael Vick, and as a player of his talent, why wouldn't you? As far as fantasy value, I guess, you know, late-round handcuff maybe to Donovan McNabb, it's really going to be seen how he's going to be used. If he's catching passes and running this wildcat and you've got to somehow he can be listed as a running back or something, or you have a quarterback as a flex position possibility, you know, who knows? The sky's could be a limit for him fantasy-wise, but only really it's a quarterback as a flex position possibility.
Well, and McNabb, too, has had some issues over the past couple of years staying healthy for the entire year and really staying productive for the entire year. What do you think the likelihood that Andy Reid, if Donovan starts being a little less productive, he might switch out Vic and make Vic the number one quarterback, Joe?
I think it's going to be tough to do that. I mean, Vic's been away from the game for 2 years, and he's really not had the opportunity to keep his skills that sharp. And to be honest, I was never that high on him as an actual NFL quarterback rather than a more of an athlete who was a very good runner who created some dangerous situations because of that. So I don't think his presence is going to mean too much unless Donovan physically is unable to go.
Okay, and so far, what has the PR machine really been saying about the whole situation? What's the fan reaction in Philadelphia right now, Emil?
Can one of the other two answer that? Because I haven't been paying attention today on that one.
Yeah, Mike, what's going on there?
You know, listening to Sal Palantonio, who's kind of the you know, the definitely the Eagle insider of the world. He was at the stadium last night, and I guess the whole stadium just came to a standstill last night while the game was going on, the exhibition game was going on, and people were running around, texting each other, talking to each other, you know, and he said overall, just listening to the morning radio shows today and everything, was negative at first, but people are starting to warm up to it a little bit. And you've got a pretty hardened city in Philadelphia. There's, you know, a man's man city, and obviously there's a lot of pet lovers there, as there are everywhere. But if this guy can help them at all, you know, they're gonna fall back in love with Michael Vick. I think the whole nation will.
Yeah, bottom line, nothing's going to make you more loved in Philadelphia than winning for your team. Well, very interesting story. Michael Vick has officially signed with the Eagles and will be playing football next year. Now, the only other real question mark here is when will he be able to start? Roger Goodell said he'll be able to play in the final two preseason games, and there's some question as to a suspension through the sixth game, but there's already some question marks as to that may be even loosened up. Any new breaking information there, Mike?
Well, is, you know, he, from what everything I've understood, that he won't be eligible. He'll be reviewed after the second game of the season, and it's kind of sketchy. Maybe Joe knows a little more than I do. I think the earliest he can come back is the sixth game. Joe, do you know that one specific?
Yeah, pretty much. I think after the preseason ends, they'll be able to file for, you know, to have the sixth game suspension, you know, drawn back a little bit. And I think if Tony Dungy and Andy Reid and the whole Philadelphia organization gets behind that, they may be able to make that happen. I did hear, I think it was John Clayton or somebody on ESPN say that perhaps they could even get it down to just, you know, being eligible to play by week three. So it should be week six as worst-case scenario with the possibility of better. And, you know, unless McNabb goes down once again, I don't think it'll be much of a problem as far as what the Eagles are planning to do.
Eagles are going to be playing the Falcons, too, in early December, so that game just got a whole heck of a lot more interesting, too.
Yeah,
well, Tom Brady,
too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be a fun game to watch. That's going to be a very loud crowd. Going to want to probably be booing him. Another quarterback out there, Tom Brady, finally able to go ahead and get some NFL time back in after missing all of last season, getting hurt in the first regular season game. He was back on the field, had a pretty good day, went 10 for 15, passed for 100 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Looks like it's the same Tom Brady we're used to, right, Emil?
Yeah, it's funny to watch this whole thing. As we did the magazines a few months ago, you started to wonder what's going to happen. You know, the guy's been injured. Of course, he was injured the first few plays of the first game or the first quarter from last year. They played this guy almost to halftime. And Randy Moss was out there. People forget, this team has a chance to be one of the greatest teams ever, to put a real notch, you know, in the history of the NFL. They won three Super Bowls in, 6 years. They were undefeated and lost to the Giants in 07. They have a burr up their bet. They want to prove something. They have a chance to be one of the greatest teams. I don't know if you noticed, when Brady threw that interception in the middle of the second quarter, that long bomb, he went to the sidelines, and when he sat down, he slammed his helmet in the ground. They want to win now. They want to do big. He could be the best quarterback this year.
Absolutely. Joe, what's your take on that?
What I saw from him is he looked pretty good in the shotgun formation last night, and not quite as good as under center. I like the way his short and mid-range throws, but his deep ball is not where he wants it to be. That was pretty accurate on that, or pretty evident on that interception he had, and also even the throw he had to Moss that was deep for, I think it was for a pass interference call. He would have liked to have got that ball out there some more. So he's still got some work to do, and I think, you know, he spent that half out there, which is sort of crazy for a guy of his level, but I think there's still a psychological block where he needs to be able to plant his foot and step into a throw with a defender coming at him, and I don't think he's quite there yet. He still has a little bit to go, and I saw Steve Young mention the same thing after the game. He still saw that hesitancy there as well.
Yeah, so Tom's clearly still knocking a little bit of rust off, but bottom line, fantasy players wanted to see if Tom Brady still had it, and it appears that he did. What does that do for his fantasy stock and some of the position players for the Patriots, Mike?
Well, the one thing that, you know, really jumped out at me is, you know, anybody that we get our magazine, the Pro Forecast, you know, happy 20th anniversary for that being published this year, and one of the articles in that magazine was by Joe Leavitt, who talked about how to find fantasy sleepers. And I was reading through that, and I came across the name Chris Baker, and I thought, oh, Chris Baker, okay, whatever, he's playing with the Patriots, okay, he'll be a good blocking back, or, you know, I didn't really, you know, I took note of it, but I didn't really take it seriously. And then you watch the game last night, and there's Mr. Joe Levick calling out Chris Baker's name in a nationally published magazine, and he scores two touchdowns in the first exhibition game. And I have to say, I was extremely impressed with Mr. Joe Levitt, our the football speaker, that he singled out Chris Baker in his article for being a sleeper tight end to keep an eye on. So I'm sure that Chris Baker is going in a lot of late rounds of some fantasy football drafts that are going on right now.
Too, and that game was just last night, but has any of the stats or ADPs that you guys seen change at all with Brady from last night, or is he going at all quicker?
Well, he was going pretty high anyway. I mean, he was in the late second round, if I recall. And a lot of times he's been going. I'm in a league right now that's a slow draft. It's about round 11. So about two, three days ago, we had the first two rounds, and he was the first quarterback taken. He went. Let me take a look here. The first pick in the second round, he was the 13th overall player taken.
Yeah, right.
So he can't go much higher than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, his average draft position is 2, and it seems like he is going late in the second round. Right now, he's averaging the 11th pick in the second round. The only quarterback who's consistently drafting better than him is Drew Brees from New Orleans. He's going around the 5th pick in the second round. So that's certainly interesting. If Brady's able to knock off a little more rust and even get better in this preseason, that may actually switch some places with Brees. Some more news coming down this week was that Dante Stallworth from the Browns will be suspended for the entire 2009 season based off of his indiscretions with his DUI manslaughter. Any surprise there, Joe?
No, I think that was pretty much to be expected. I think maybe a lot of people wanted an even bigger suspension. But I think certainly at least to start off with a year is reasonable. At least it's, you know, not ridiculously small. On the other side of the suspension, apparently he should be reinstated after the Super Bowl, assuming everything goes well, and he'll be 29 years old next year. And, you know, that's not too old to get a job in the NFL, though I kind of doubt it's going to be with the Browns, who haven't exactly been standing by his side through all this.
Now, Mike, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, how is Braylon Edwards going to get open this year? he's got Muhammad Massaquoi and Brian Robisky, you know, basically trying to fill the other wide receiver spot. Kellen Winslow is gone. He's got, you know, a 31-year-old running back trying to, you know, run the ball. And I just think Braylon Edwards is going to be facing a lot of double teams, and he only caught 40% of the passes that came to him as it was last year.
Well, at least he won't have to drop as many this year.
So, I really have no real thought about Dante Stallworth except that, you know, I think he should have got years instead of days in jail. But as far as from the Cleveland Browns go, they could have used a little more experience across from Braylon Edwards. That would, and I don't know what they're going to be doing this year.
Absolutely. So it looks like that story may be closed for at least the next year, possibly maybe be reinstated next year. I don't know if he's going to have any real value at that point, if he's able to keep his game on, but will certainly be interesting. Also, some good news for Broncos fans. Brandon Marshall's trial for the misdemeanor battery, a jury has finally found him not guilty, so maybe that will help him out in getting his new contract. What do you think about that, Emil?
Yeah, that probably will. I mean, I'm really worried about the guy. He's you know, had some injury problems here in training camp, and he's getting in so much trouble, and you got a new quarterback, and I tell you what, and Royal hasn't exactly, he's a pretty darn good player and on the other side. I've seen Marshall fall a lot. He's starting to fall in drafts until he really gets out there in the preseason and shows he's healthy and had his head screwed on right, which he may never have. I'm worried about him. I've been letting him go in the first few rounds of drafts.
Absolutely. Mike, any thoughts on that?
He's one of those great enigmas, and they all seem to be going all at the same point of the drafts this year, your Braylon Edwards and your TOs and your Brandon Marshalls, and they seem to kind of all be grouped right there together in the drafts, and you kind of try to sift your way through it because any one of them could pay off huge compared to where you're kind of getting them in the draft, or any one of them could totally burn you huge. And so, again, I think personally that Josh McDaniels wants to have his kind of players in there. I'm not sure that Brandon Marshall really fits into his kind of players. And unless he can just shut up and go in there and produce instead of saying, I want to get the bleep out of this town, I'm not sure he's going to be really welcome in Denver. And I think they'd love to make a guy who's a super high character player like Eddie Royal the centerpiece of their wide receivers.
Joe, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the comments about Marshall's character is a big deal. I mean, people like Charlie Casserly have admitted that, you know, back when he was the GM of the Titans, the year that Marshall came out, he totally took him off his draft board just based on character, even though he knew he had reams and reams of talent, but he said it wasn't worth his trouble to go after him. So, I mean, he's sort of making his own bed here, but, you know, on the positive side, I think this is the first time since he signed his contract with Denver that he doesn't have a pending legal situation in front of him. So,
yep.
I think that's really to his benefit, and we'll see if he takes it and runs with it or if he just, you know, heads back to his old way of behaving. Hopefully he's learned his lesson, but in the meantime, I've been one of those who was willing to jump in on Marshall in these drafts and get him at a decent point. A lot of times it's my wide receiver too, which is great value, assuming he gets on the field and catches another 100 balls, but like Mike pointed out, there's plenty of risk there.
Any news on suspension, though, Joe, that you know of?
Because he was found not guilty, there's no suspension coming down. He's free and clear on that as of now.
Wow. Good.
It looks to, moving on to that, Brian Westbrook will be returning to practice this Saturday, too. Any surprise, any good there, Joe?
I think the good thing is that he was pretty much right on the target they set for him when he had his surgery back on June 5th. He looks to have been running very well on the sidelines recently, and I think he'll be back to full practice tomorrow, and although I kind of doubt we'll see much of him in any of these preseason games, in the meantime, it's been a bit of a chance for LeSean McCoy to get on the field, and looks like the Eagles have a winner behind them, so it looks like they're extremely deep at running back this year.
Yeah, it has been nice to see LeSean McCoy out there, their draft pick, and doing a good job. Mike, do you think he's going to get any value this year, LeSean?
I think, well, you know, that's really more of a football question than I think basically a fantasy question. And he's obviously been drafted as the feature back of the future. Westbrook is 30 years old. And the way the Eagles are set up, in my opinion, this is a team that's set up to make a playoff run, a Super Bowl run. And so why not conserve Westbrook for the playoffs? Why not work LeSean McCoy in and get him reps and get him ready for the future, 2010, 2011, and he's explosive, he's durable, he's got to learn a very, very complicated offense, but why not start working him in? And obviously, if you have Westbrook, you know, you've got to handcuff him with McCoy.
Bottom line, though, the Eagles are deep at pretty much every position right now. They're really building a team for now and for the future to be able to compete for the next 5, 10, 15 years. What do you think, Kimmel?
Yeah, I like a lot of the things, the receivers they took. There was a lot of, McNabb was a little annoyed about the growth and trying to get receivers. He wanted Moss a couple years ago. And Jackson's really, you know, he's done well. The rookie, Macklin, has got a lot of talent. I agree. And with McCoy at running back, you know, even Weaver, the fullback, he's going to cause trouble on occasion. There's a lot of depth there, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that pretty much covers the big news items we wanted to get to. And since we're getting so close to so many fantasy drafts going on, I want to kind of switch direction and get into some more of the draft stuff. Emma, what are you seeing that's been surprising you so far over the past couple of weeks in the drafts and some of these mock drafts you've been in?
Well, you know, it's a couple disappointing things just emotionally. Palmer was kind of a guy that you could get late in the rounds for quarterback, maybe even the 12th quarterback he was going, basically. And now he's sliding up around 8th or 9th, so you can't really get him as a sleeper before. And as we talked about Westbrook, the ADP that we're looking at right now is the first pick in the second round. I've seen him go in the middle of the second round, which I think is surprising. And as we've talked earlier in the podcast, everything's a risk factor. Mm-hmm. But that guy in the middle of the second round, especially in a PPR, I saw him just go at 2.06 in a PPR league. And to me, that's really late. I mean, if he comes off and does anything like he has in the past, that's going to be phenomenal. Felix Jones is an interesting pick now, too, in the middle of the drafts. He's, especially last night watching him, he's going to start shooting up the drafts.
Absolutely. And Mike, we haven't really had too much of a chance to get your thoughts and feelings on the podcast. What's been some of your surprises over this drafting season?
Well, every draft is a surprise, it seems like to me. You know, that, I think the thing that really is striking me, and obviously the big news, I think, this year has just been the emergence of the first-round wide receiver. I've seen PPR leagues where six wide receivers are going in the first round. And it is just, we kind of were talking about this at the end of last year and kind of predicting that this was going to happen because of the proliferation of the running back by committees and how every team is going to these three-headed monsters in the backfield because they have to. I mean, the running backs cannot handle the punishment that the NFL defenses are handing out anymore, and that the feature back is becoming a real rarity, obviously. And so that's been, I think, the big news of this year is just the way the wide receivers are going so fast this year. And if you want to have a feature wide receiver, then you've got to really reach up and get them.
Yeah, Mike, too, one of the questions I often like to ask some of our draft experts on the show is, what do you think is one of the more common mistakes people are making right now?
Well, I don't really look at things as a mistake because I can't predict the future. I don't know what's going to happen this year. But the one thing I think, you got to know your scoring. And if you're looking at a league where your quarterback touchdowns are worth 4 points for a touchdown, and that these guys who are taking quarterbacks in the second and third round, I feel personally that that's just way too much of an investment. That you need to be taking your running backs and your wide receivers in the first five rounds and then start looking at a Matt Schaub, a Carson Palmer who's already been. There are plenty, even a Kurt Warner, there are plenty of guys who are going to get 4,000 yards and 24 touchdowns this year. And that's basically what you're looking at with Peyton Manning who's going in the second and third round. And there's no reason not really get solid in your nucleus before you start dialing in getting your quarterback this year.
Emil, what's your overall draft strategy? What's the biggest thing you're keeping in your mind as you're thinking about who you're going to pick next?
Well, there's a lot of different things, and we'll be talking more about that over the next few weeks, and I can synopsize it because it would take 10 minutes to talk about it. But you're trying to look at the average draft positions and the mock drafts, and you're trying to see where people fall because your first round or two, like Mike said, you maybe want to decide to go for a receiver in the middle, but then you need to plan out the next few rounds. And I think the important thing is to look at these ADPs and look at the cheat sheets we have and where people are going to be able to try and forecast down. Like Mike said, maybe you want to wait till the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round to get that quarterback because you can get the extra players at receiver and running back. So you have to really plan your draft. And if you decide to take some a little earlier than usual, you're going to have to plan out later on. I've even had you can have scenarios where, let's say you really love Ray Rice for Baltimore, and you really love Wells for Arizona. I forget his first name, Bernie or something.
Beanie.
Yeah, Beanie.
Let's say you love those guys. You think they're going to really perform top 15 or so. You could decide I want to take those two guys, and this is a risk scenario. And then you plan out where you can get those guys because of the ADPs and the cheat sheets. And then in the first and second and third rounds, you can do receivers, maybe a quarterback, tight end in the third or fourth or fifth. And so those you really need to plan your draft out is what I'm trying to say.
All right. Joe, what's one of your biggest surprises in terms of sleepers? Who have you seen most consistently being drafted late who you think should be drafted a little bit quicker?
I still think Ray Rice is going pretty late for what he has. I mean, he seems to have locked in that RB1 position in Baltimore, and I think what's happening is people are scared off by that three-headed monster that we talked about, and you know, it is a legitimate concern. You know, what carries will he get? Will he get the goal line carries with McClain there? And again, this comes back to your scoring. If you're heavy into touchdown scoring, that means a lot in your league, then, you know, Ray Rice may not be the best pick for you, but in a performance league where yardage and touches and maybe even a PPR league where catches are going to help, Ray Rice is looking like a pretty solid value based on where he's going. And the other value that I like is, you know, at the end of last year, everybody was proclaiming the end of LaDainian Tomlinson, and he seems to be sneaking back up the draft boards here lately and, you know, starting to see him more and more easily in the middle of the first round, and especially in a PPR league. So I think that's another one.
Mike, who have you seen out there that's been available late in the draft or you've been able to snag up at a good value?
Well, you know, to kind of answer that question a little bit of a roundabout way is that, you know, a lot of the biggest success, I think, that people have who win their leagues every year, especially when you're talking about money leagues that are usually drafting at the end of the year, and you know, the draft year, I should say, is they do a lot of mock drafts. I mean, you should be doing 10 to 15 at least mock drafts, drafting from different draft positions, trying different draft strategies. If you've got a league that's got a flex position, I mean, go out there and go running back, running back, running back. Find out what that's like. Find out what kind of wide receivers and tight ends and things are going to be falling to you. See what that team is going to look like. Go out there and go wide receiver. Find out what that's going to look like. Go out there and take a tight. Go out there and take Jason Witten in the third round. See what that team is going to look like. So, as far as who's going to fall, when you do those kind of things, then you're going to have a plan. So, okay, I'm going to look at Josh Morgan in the 10th round. I'm going to maybe even look at Devin Hester in the 9th round. I mean, these are the kind of guys you got to get focused on, some players who you think are going to give you good value and but are going to be available late. Tim Hightower is another guy out there. He's going to be going later. You think that he's going to be the guy that's going to start because they don't want to give a rookie back in the backfield to protect Kurt Warner and his fragile body, and they want a veteran. You know, those are the kind of players you got to go out there and make your decisions on and find out these are the guys I can target later in the drafts.
Very good, very good. Well, we only have a couple more minutes on the program, and Emil, I want to give you a quick second to talk a little bit about the fantasyfootballdiehards.com stimulus package you guys got going on. I'm sure everybody listening has already gotten their magazines, but if you haven't, Emil, what's the best way to get them right now?
Well, obviously, the stimulus package, we have our Flash Up Premium, Flash Update Premium package for $8, and you get a magazine with that shipped to you. I don't know why we did such a crazy thing. But it's really been a great thing, especially with the economy this year. And we're still selling a bunch of them, and people are still getting the magazines because there's a lot. I mean, I'll even sit down. I'm in drafts right now, and I'll sit down and look at the magazine because I can look at 3 years back stats, and I can go in and, you know, do a lot of things with the flip of a finger as opposed to trying to flip around on the website. And so they're still very valuable up to the last moment with a lot of studying. But you know, you can also, the people that buy the magazine, obviously on the website, can actually get the Flash Update. It's all $8 no matter which way you go.
Absolutely. And you can also get all four of the magazines for, what is it, $22?
Four
for $24. That gets you access to the Flash Update and all the information.
Yeah.
I finally was able to get all four of my magazines last week. I stopped by and got them from Bob. And just a wealth of information, the cheat sheets. All that stuff will help you out so much.
Well, each one has various different type of articles in them that definitely are very useful to study up on.
Absolutely. And finally, I want to ask you guys each quickly, too, who you guys like overall. Assuming you guys were the number one pick, who are you guys taking right now? Mike, who are you taking?
Well, just before we move on real quick, I just want to say that my favorite part of the website, becoming a premium member, I just want to throw this out there real quick, is the target. All the target information that we have on the website, all the red zone targets, the completion percentages for every single skill position player from last year. I use that all the time. I just wanted to throw that in real quick before I'm wrapped up here.
It shows all of the drops that Edwards had also.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
absolutely.
Just kidding. I'm joking. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it tells you that Anquan Boldin had caught 81% of his red zone targets last year and had the most red zone touchdowns last year of any 10, and that Larry Fitzgerald had the most red zone targets last year, just one ahead of Andre Johnson. I mean, just, and that Wes Welker caught 75% of the passes that were directed towards him last year. I mean, just great, great information that I use for every draft I'm in.
Well, yeah, bottom line is taking a look at the website, and if you have access to everything, you're never going to run out of something to look at or some stat that's going to help you in your draft. I've got about 90 seconds left. I want to get you guys' number one overall pick now. Mike, who do you like?
PPR, MJD, standard scoring, I'm going Adrian Peterson.
All right, Emil, what about you?
Ditto with that, exactly.
Joe, what about you? Come on, some dissension.
I do have a little bit of dissension. You know, I'm pretty happy to grab Peterson in both formats. I think he's got the most upside of any player in the NFL, and I realize MJD's, you know, exceptional favorite this year, but I'm still willing to go with Peterson and the more physical player.
Very good, very good. Well, check out the website. It is footballdiehards.com. Thanks so much to my guests, Mike Jones, Emil Kadlec, and Joe Hebert joining us. Check out the stimulus package. You can get all four magazines for $24. Get flash update. You really can't beat that deal. Check out the news and views with Bob Harris. Maybe he'll be back with us this week. We went ahead and gave him the week off this time. Any closing notes, guys?
Well, have some fun out there and study up.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we do have a lot of draft strategy articles on the flash update that's very important also as you prepare.
Right on, right on. We'll check out the website. You'll never run out of information to take a look at on there. And we'll be back on the website again next week with the next edition of the FootballDieHards.com podcast.